Welcome to Blind Luminations, the show that is half-sighted, half-blind, all podcast. Now get ready to open your ears to your two favorite lumineers, Mark and Jan.
Hey, Illuminati! Welcome to the Blind Luminations podcast. I am one half of your hosting duo, one half of your hosting team, as it were, the Blind Namek duo. I'm the Blind Avenger. My friends call me Mark during the day, and alongside me is my sighted wife. I call her the guiding goddess, but during the day, everyone calls her Jan. How are you doing today, Jan?
I'm doing dandy.
That's fantastic to hear. We're back, and Adam with a brand new podisode of the Blind Luminations podcast, as I mentioned. For those of you tuning in for the first time, basically what this podcast is a tale of two people who became married. One of us being blind, and that's me, and one of us being fully sighted, and that is my wife, Jan. And basically, we go over our lives as a married couple living around my disability and what we do and the different things, different ways we manage it. So we tackle the different aspects of that. And today, we've got a doozy for you. We're moving on up. We're talking about the time where we moved in together. For the first time. We haven't moved again since. We've been at this beautiful apartment building.
One time was too many.
Exactly, yeah. We don't want to repeat that same mistake. But we've been living at the same apartment ever since. But this happened about, it'll be 7 years ago in September. So it's kind of crazy to think it's been that long already.
Mm-hmm.
What have we done with our lives? Anyway, before we get to that topic, I just want to tell you, if you enjoy what you're hearing, make sure to spread the word to your friends. We are available on pretty much every great podcasting platform. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review there if you're listening. And also, just tell your friends about the fact that we are on the A word, you know, that smart speaker, not the swear word. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say the word because I will invoke her presence on this podcast, But we are available there if you just say a word, play Blind Luminations podcast. It will start playing our latest podisode. You can also find us on all of those other platforms like Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict or whatever that one's called. I don't know. It's an Android app, so I don't use it, so I forget what it's called. It's something. It's Pod Addict, Podcast Addict, I think. Whatever. We're on Stitcher, we're on iHeartRadio, we're on all of those. So we're on a whole bunch of things. Overcast, that's a popular one on the iPhone and iPad. But yeah, so with that being said, we're just going to discuss a few little things and then we'll get to our podcast topic of the week. So a little bit of follow-up from last week. We actually talked about New York and its surrounding suburbs, and I asked the A-word what she had to say on the matter, and apparently Brooklyn and the Bronx, they are two separate areas, and they are both boroughs of New York City itself. So I'm assuming that means they're suburbs, right? Borough would be a suburb.
I would think so, unless you're talking about rabbits. Don't they have burrows?
I don't think we're talking about rabbits. And they're both separate places, because you were wondering if the Bronx is Brooklyn. But the Bronx is actually in Bronx County, New York. And Brooklyn is the second largest area in New York, or the second largest borough in New York. So there you go. And I think the Bronx is the third. So those are two separate places, two very separate places, so that we don't offend any of our listeners from New York. I just wanted to clarify that before we continued along.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
because we do the work. We do the research.
We're like the Avengers. Yeah, we're like the Avengers. We do our best work after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
We're called the Avengers. We need something to avenge. In this case, it was our poor education on New York, the state, and the city. So, I just wanted to throw that out there because I did mention it last week. We talked about it, we debated, and I actually found an answer. So for anyone too lazy to look it up, there's your answer. Don't say we're not educational. But anyway, with that being said, we also talked about sunglasses and how I select mine. And I was unbelievably wrong, proving the fact that not all blind people know everything about all other blind people. I was very wrong about why certain blind people do wear sunglasses. It's actually due to a condition called photophobia. It has nothing to do with retinitis pigmentosa. So I'm actually going to share in the show notes a video to a YouTube channel. It's called Blind to Billionaire, and they explain everything really well. I played it, or I sent it to you, Jan, and you thought it was a pretty neat video because the guy doing the video is blind himself, and he explained all the different reasons why people in the blind community wear sunglasses, and there's quite a few, actually. So I thought it would be an interesting kind of companion piece to what we were talking about last week. So I'm going to put it in the show notes, and I will also share that link through all of our social media outlets on Facebook at facebook.com/blindluminations, on Twitter at blindlumination, and I can't really share it on Instagram because they don't allow links, but if you follow the link to our show through Instagram, you'll find it in the show notes for this podisode. So I will have all of that stuff out there for all of you to enjoy so you can understand the different reasons why people wear sunglasses. People who are blind wear sunglasses, I should say. So that's all the follow-up from last week's podisode, because the thing is, when we create a podisode where we just talk about things randomly, there's a lot of crap we don't know. We just kind of speak out of our butt sometimes, and I feel it's necessary to admit when we're wrong. At certain points in time. I mean, I do it all the time here with Jan, because as everyone knows, the husband is always wrong. But I figured I should do it on the podcast too. I need to remain humble. Right?
You have to, or else you're not going to fit through the doors.
Well, come on now. That's a little bit of an exaggeration, I would say. Wouldn't you?
No, it happens. I've seen it in movies.
You've seen it in what? You've seen me in movies?
No, I've seen when people get enlarged heads, they have issues.
They can't get through doorways?
Well, I'm not too sure, but I'm pretty sure that villain from Green Lantern, he had a really hard time getting around.
That's true. That's true. Sinestro.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Which villain?
The guy with the big head.
Oh, Hector Hammond?
Yeah.
That dork?
Yeah,
that guy sucked. That old movie sucked. I feel bad for Ryan Reynolds. It's really amazing that his career survived that movie. I think that's a true testament to how talented he is. Because that was a really bad movie. Hello?
It really was. But I don't know, because I enjoyed it too. See, you put me in this position where I'm like, awful. I don't know. Like,
how did you enjoy
terrible.
It? When we watched it, you said it was awful.
But is it, like, so bad it was fun?
No, it was just bad.
Maybe I have to rewatch it and just find out. Because there are some movies, like, you just watch and it's like, oh. But maybe it was like one.
Hold on. You even told me you rewatched it on Netflix recently and you said it was still awful.
Oh, then yeah, it really was. I don't remember.
I was going to say, you don't remember what you've done because you've told me you've rewatched it and that it's terrible.
Yeah. I have a bad memory. You know this.
I do too. And now our podcast listeners are experiencing it as well. It's quite fascinating how that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Because I enjoy watching Suicide Squad, because that's a fun, bad movie.
Awful. Awful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't find anything good about that movie.
Yeah.
Well, there's Margot Robbie. She was good. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Leto was awful. I understand they had to make that Joker different from Heath Ledger, but I didn't like it at all. There's different, and then there's, like, bad different. You can be good different.
Yeah.
But that was not good different.
No.
That was just bad.
Yeah.
Hmm. So what have you been up to since the last time we spoke on this podcast? We speak every day, but I'm just, you know, we went to the casino on the weekend. I don't think we talked. Well, no, we recorded last Thursday, so we went to the casino and gambled a whole $5 away.
Mm-hmm.
We were playing for keeps, and we kept losing.
Yes,
that's what we kept. Yeah, so we went there for dinner. One of our friends was turning 9 because she had a leap year birthday. So we went, celebrated there, had some dinner, and that was a good time. And then afterwards, we placed $5 on the slot machines and lost it all in a blaze of glory.
We had 37 cents left, and we gave it to the birthday girl.
Oh, that was nice of us.
Mm-hmm.
We were really nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, she can't say that we never give her anything.
Exactly.
I mean, we gave her a birthday gift too. It wasn't like happy birthday, here's 37 cents. That would have been really bad, I think.
Yeah, that would have been awkward.
That would have been strange. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, it would have been really awkward if, like, we start out with, like, the $5.
Yeah, because really, in the end, we could have just given her the $5.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been a very good gift. It's like, we could have just given you $5, but we tried to gamble it, and we're left with 37 cents, so here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wouldn't be so good. That's probably not a good idea.
Yeah.
So for anybody looking to give money to somebody for their birthday, if you're going to a casino, don't gamble it away first and then give them what you have left. Just give them the money up front. It's probably easier that way, and especially if you have an addiction problem.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the better way to spend your money.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm trying to say. Right?
Yeah, don't bet.
Don't bet. Bet on love and friendship instead. Because that's an investment that will keep on giving forever. That was pretty good, eh? I wrapped it all around.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. I'm good at that sometimes. But anyway. So yeah, we did that on Saturday. And then I think we just kept that it was pretty easygoing weekend other than that.
Yeah, I think
so. We didn't do too much. I can't remember anything anyway. I guess my memory's bad sometimes too.
I watched Moon, the Guardian of the Moon.
You mooned somebody?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
I watched
you showed them your
animated
butt.
Movie. It was pretty good.
Okay. Speaking of animated movies, we want to go see Onward this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that turns out to be a good movie. It looks like it's going to be really good. Pixar, they don't usually have like bad movies. They have some that don't necessarily live up to their very lofty standards. But like I feel like their standards are so high at this point. Even a bad Pixar movie isn't bad overall. You know what I mean? It's just disappointing by the standards they set for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to that movie, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope I don't weep like a little baby, because they say it's actually very emotional, as most Pixar movies are, but especially like these main characters, their dad passed away, it's two brothers, and they basically the plot is that they get to spend a day with him afterwards, right? So yeah, so he comes, well, doesn't come back from the dead, but it sounds like they get a wish to spend an extra day with him after he's passed away. So my dad actually passed away about 6 years ago now, and so I'm hoping that it's not too emotional for me. I don't want to weep like a little baby in the middle of a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'll be wearing my sunglasses, so no one will be able to tell, unless they hear me sobbing uncontrollably. So yeah, but we're looking forward to that. You're just laughing, thinking at the sight of that, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You are. Thanks. That's really nice. I'm glad you're an emotional support for me. You laugh when I'm in pain.
Mark, it's really dark in here, and you're wearing glasses, and I can't see, but I just keep hearing.
Okay, first of all, I can't get my voice to be that high-pitched. Second of all, I bring Kleenex with me, okay? I'd blow my nose eventually. I wouldn't just sniffle. What's that? That sounded like a Wookiee.
That was you blowing your nose.
Repeat that noise again. That sounded like a Wookiee. That kind of sounded like Chewbacca. I'm just saying, it kind of did. But anyway, so that's kind of what we have planned for this weekend. We talked about going to try the pickle burger at Mamo Burger, a local, burger restaurant nearby. We're thinking of doing that as well. So I'm sure we'll have stuff to talk about next week. And it's also the Maple Fest at John R. Park Homestead. So I'm really looking forward to that. They're going to have taffy, even. they mentioned on the news. So I'm really excited for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have axe throwing there. The Bad Axe Throwing Windsor is going to have a mobile trailer. I don't know if I'll do any axe throwing, but we'll see what happens. Well, I won't see what happens. We'll tell you what happens. You'll hear what happens, just like me. You can come to my world for a change.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, speaking of my world, let's go back to a time where my world began to expand a little bit wider and talk about when we moved in together as a, well, we weren't married yet. It was the same, it was the same month we decided to get married, which was a huge mistake, but we'll get to that in a little bit. First of all, I thought maybe we could go over why we were looking more at apartment buildings. I mean, aside from their affordability, there's a lot of benefits that come with them for somebody who is blind or visually impaired,
mm-hmm.
because I would say living in a smaller space for us is very beneficial to me because it's not, there's a lot of houses now that are more open concept. And with like the wide areas, I find it's a lot hard to navigate through because you don't necessarily have different landmarks in the area. So living in a small apartment unit, basically you have the hallway, which isn't that long. You walk in and you turn to your left and it's, you just go down the hallway. You know, you have the one room is the office. Next one's the bedroom on the right-hand side, and then at the end of the hallway is the washroom. And then, I mean, even the kitchen is just like this narrow area. You have cupboard space on the left and right. Your fridge and stove are on the left, and you have a little mini dishwasher on the right. And it's not where you really have a lot of room to get lost in. And even like our bigger areas of the apartment with the living room and the dining room, we have furniture there. So those are landmarks that I can feel around. And by the time you end up filling up those spaces, it actually, there's not a lot of, open area for you to kind of get lost in. So, I mean, sometimes it can be a little bit crammed and I can hit my leg off a table or different things. God knows that's happened before, but, I think that's one of the big things about it. And also, it's all on one floor, so you don't have to worry about a basement. You don't have to worry about stairs, necessarily. So it's very beneficial in that sense. So, I mean, I've kind of run through a few things. How about for yourself? Like, what do you think has been beneficial for us moving into an apartment building?
Well, it's also the deal of having to, not necessarily garbage, but like lawn maintenance and snow removal.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
It's a lot easier because it doesn't fall on one person.
Right, exactly.
Whereas if it was just me, like with you, like obviously I'd be the one clearing off the snow all the time or mowing the lawn, which it's just added work. So, I mean, it doesn't just fall on one person, which would have been a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, doing the job for so long and then coming home and doing that. I mean, some people obviously do that, but like when it's never going to be traded off, when there's never a trade-off of the extra chores, it's a little harder.
Exactly. And I mean, even living together, I try to handle unloading the dishwasher and doing different things around the kitchen. I realize I don't do as much work around here as you do, but I try to help where I can. And I think like having a house, I would be able to help. Like, I mean, to a certain extent, obviously I wouldn't be able to mow the lawn or do snow blowing and stuff like that. But I'd like to think like when it comes to like raking leaves, like I'd be able to help to a certain extent, maybe. But it would, like, I do admit, it would fall onto you to do a lot of this stuff, too. And I mean, as far as that goes, you talked about snow removal and lawn maintenance. I mean, even fixing stuff around a house, I would only be able to do so much. You would have to take that up as well, which you are a very handy person. I'm lucky in that sense because, you know, some people just aren't handy. I mean, I was never handy when I was growing up, really. I would help my dad with different jobs and he'd tell me what to do, basically. And I would try to make sure I cleaned things up as soon as possible when I saw he was getting close to the end of his job because I would just want to be finished. because working with my dad wasn't always the most fun thing in the world. Mm-hmm. He was a good supervisor, we'll put it that way. But he was really well-equipped to tell you what you were doing wrong and lost his temper quite quickly. But anyway, that hasn't been passed down to me at all. But the point being, though, I wasn't really the handyman around the house or anything. So once again, you and I moving in together, that would have fallen onto you. And while you are good at those things, I mean, that's another burden that you would have to carry somewhat. And maybe not burden, maybe that's not the right word, but it's just another job that would be on your shoulders. And it would just add to the workload you face at home. Mm-hmm. And I know that you do a lot at home. So the fact that we are able to kind of outsource, in a way, those different things to the people who own the apartment building, the building managers and different stuff like that, I think that's a really helpful thing, especially for any blind person maybe who's getting married and looking to move somewhere.
And it's going to sound... I'm going to try to phrase this properly so it doesn't sound mean.
Okay.
But let's face it, you can make a mess.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're eating, there's crumbs and that, and you don't know, you can't see
I don't see,
them.
Where, like, yeah, it's exactly. Rare. No, I am messy, and I understand that, yeah.
So, I mean, it happens, you accept that. But it's kind of nice to have an apartment because the range that you have to carry those crumbs is small.
Yeah, exactly. Like, our dining room table is really close to the kitchen counter. So, I mean, I'm not dropping crumbs all over the place from my plate if I'm bringing it over to the counter.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And, I mean, I'm just... It's not a long walk from the dining room to the bedroom, necessarily, or, like, different areas. So,
yeah.
I mean, it kind of... You're kind of self-contained. The extra crumbs, I guess, is what we're saying.
Yeah, because sometimes we had that... it was a mix from Bulk Barn that you really
right,
liked.
Right, yes, and it had, like, the little raisin bits in it.
Like, the smallest raisins.
Yeah. They weren't from California.
They were like crumb raisins. Like,
they weren't
it was
from California. They were from
small.
A suburb.
Yeah.
They were from, I don't even know, any suburbs in California. Any small. They weren't from L.A. They were from Reseda, California. I don't know. I think that's a place, right?
I have no
Reseda,
idea.
Reseda, California. I know there's an Ontario in California, so we can go with that. Or is it? No, that is California. Anyway. So continuing.
The point is.
Yes.
Is that.
We do have a point.
We promise.
Yes.
That it, you know, sometimes you'd have that. And because they were small, little itty bitty raisins, you wouldn't feel that they were falling or anything. And I could follow a trail from the jar to the bedroom where you were eating them. And obviously, really? If it's a smaller trail. It's a lot easier to clean.
Really, that was just my way of seducing you. It was you followed the trail of little bitty raisins, and at the end of them, I was laying on the bed. It's like, hey,
eating them.
Hey, how you doing? I'm eating my raisins. I'm eating my raisin mix. Take a look at this.
Oh,
feast
my
your
goodness.
Eyes on the prize. What do you think?
You worry
don't know
me
what to
sometimes.
Think. Yeah, I worry you sometimes.
Yep.
Only sometimes. You should be worried all the time when it comes to me. But yeah, so it's having that reduced space is a big thing for us, and it really helps us out in many ways, a lot of which you wouldn't necessarily think of either. So, I mean, that was one of the main reasons we were looking into apartments from the start. Because I think it was just going to be easier for us to manage. And I mean, while having our own home would be nice, there are definitely benefits to being in an apartment building. Because, I mean, you also get to know the neighbors and stuff and that. And so, like, I feel like there's a bigger sense of community here as well. Kind of people look out for one another in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that too? Like, or is it just me? Yeah. Like, I'm not saying, like, somebody would be, like, coming to the door, like, all the time to check in on me or something, but it just feels like, I don't know. I just feel like more secure in an apartment building.
Okay, people are more, I don't want to say like nosy or anything, but like you're more inclined to.
You're more aware of what's going on around you.
You're more inclined to know who's around you.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas like when I was living in a house and that, I knew who my neighbors were to a certain extent, but it wasn't where like I tried to get to know them or anything.
Yeah.
Whereas when we're here, I try to know who's like across the hall or who's next door and that. And it's not necessarily be nosy. I'm just like curious who's like right next door.
Well, and I almost feel like too, in an apartment building, it's harder for just like any person off the street to like come in and do something. You know what I mean? Like not to be paranoid or whatever, but like when you're living in a neighborhood, when you're living in a house, like somebody's more likely to break in, I would say, than randomly picking an apartment building on or an apartment unit on whatever floor of an apartment building. You know what I mean? It's harder to get into the building because somebody has to let you in. Mm-hmm. And then like even if you break into an apartment building, there's units all around. So as soon as there's some kind of noise, people are being alerted to the fact that like there's something going on. You know what I mean? So like I almost feel like it's more secure in that sense than maybe living in a house where there's distance between the houses and you can hear if something's going on next door or whatever. So those are all the reasons we kind of decided to look at apartment buildings for moving into. And basically that brought us to the big day, the moving day, as it were. Not the best day of my life. That was our wedding. But this was actually a very stressful day in my life because we had like all the wedding planning going on at the same time as we decided to move in together because we actually got the apartment like 3 weeks before our wedding. So the weekend we got it, we had friends coming over and they painted. They helped us paint, I should say, the entire apartment building and not building, the apartment unit. Wow, they're really overachievers. They painted the whole building. No, the apartment unit. And then the following weekend, we moved stuff in. Your family came over and helped us with that. We had a few friends as well. So it's just one of those things. It kind of made me think that it's kind of the universal thing between moving and being blind in general or having any sort of disability or anything where you need help. Basically, it's very important to have a good support network. And I think we have that. We're lucky enough to have that with both our friends and family. So, I mean, this became a huge thing for us, definitely when it came time to move. So, I just think that's one of the universal things that maybe people don't realize, like, when somebody does have a disability and different things, it's very similar. It's just you need that for a longer period of time in your life. But in this case, it was definitely, it was advantageous that we already had that support network willing and ready to help us move in together. So that was a big deal. You were saying too before that your dad, he used to work for a moving company, so that was especially helpful. He helped in terms of knowing how to pack things.
Yeah, so he
from
had,
your
like,
parents' house to bring here.
Well, he wasn't there for that part. It was my brother was doing it, but because done it, he was able. He had sort of trained my brother to know what to do because
that's
my
right.
Because
your mom and dad were waiting
then.
Here. Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, go ahead. Coordinate things. And so, like, he knew how to pack things in the truck from things my dad had told him and had picked up along the way.
Yeah. Because you guys came to my house first, my parents' house, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then did we drop? Yeah, we went there. We dropped stuff off here.
No.
Or no, we went to your
yeah.
family's house second? Okay. Yeah. And then we dropped all the brought all the stuff here. I couldn't remember if we made two trips. If we went from my parents' house to the apartment and then to your parents' house to the apartment. Or if we did both. Okay. So, yeah. So that was really good. I mean, they knew how to move stuff, so that was a big help. And obviously the painting was a big help because, I mean, I can't do that. I could have tried. I don't think it would have ended very well. You might have ended
no one
up...
wanted to trust you with something that we would have to like really scrub to clean out.
Yeah, you might have ended up with like some blue paint on the ceiling, maybe on the carpet. We didn't have furniture at the time, so it wouldn't have ended up on the furniture, luckily. But yeah, definitely, it was good to have our friends helping out with that, though, because there's a decent amount of painting that needed to be done. We had the two rooms, two bedrooms, one we turned into an office, and then the bigger bedroom, and then we had, like, the whole living room area, like, living room, dining room. It's kind of one room that is in an L shape. And then we had the kitchen. So the kitchen wasn't big, but I mean, in addition to everything else, we just had a lot of stuff to paint. So it really helped us out a lot to have our friends here. And then, like I said, your family really came through when it came time to help move everything. And it was funny because it reminds me of the story that for some reason I find... people have a hard time believing that, like, a sighted person is married to a blind person, or, like, dating a blind person. I've, like, had this in the past where I dated someone and her mom was convinced I was, like, her special friend. And it's not that we were actually dating. I was her special friend. Mm-hmm. And then when she found out we were actually dating, she did not have a good reaction to it. But I mean, even in our case, we've been, I think I mentioned it on this podcast before, we've been... people have thought you were my caseworker. People have thought you were my sister. And I think this is the most humorous case is when we were moving at your parents, one of their neighbors thought that you and your brother were married.
Mm-hmm.
And I was your special friend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great that you did like all these things for me.
Yeah.
And the funny part about that is that your brother would come with his wife and their two kids to your parents all the time.
It wasn't like he only ever came alone or anything. Yeah. It's like, no, but like he's been with like who did they decide she and the children were?
Like, yeah. I'd like to know. Yeah, exactly. Like I'd like to know what version of reality she's shaped things into. Like, has she not seen your sister-in-law with the kids?
Yeah, like, how
has
that
she
work?
Just like decided maybe it's another sibling who has kids that shows up at your house? Like, it's really weird. I still don't understand like how she thought.
Yeah, I don't know
how that all worked out.
But they gave us food, didn't they have like the buns or whatever?
They gave you food. They never gave me anything.
Well, obviously, I gave you some.
No, you didn't. You never gave me any of her food.
Oh, maybe it's because I thought they might have had peanuts in it.
Well, they brought over hot cross buns. And I think it was just your family ate them. Like, it's like more of a breakfast thing, so you really had no reason to bring me that food. Mm-mm. To be fair, it's not like you had, like, got the buns and you were coming over for breakfast the next day or something. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Your family ate them. Like, your younger brother was still living at home at the time, too. So I think it's probably just where your family ate them. I wasn't offended that you didn't give me any or anything. Mm. I mean, still something I think about to this day, but not offended or bitter at all.
That's good.
That you didn't give me any food. You didn't share with your future husband. It wasn't a traumatic experience whatsoever.
Let it go, man. Let it go.
Okay. I'll let it go. For now. But anyway, yes. So we had that support network, and that really helped us out when it came for the move. And then, for me, the big part after that was adjusting to living in an apartment building, because I was not familiar with the rules and the sounds of apartment life. And
for many years, I grew up in an apartment building before we moved into the house. So I got used to different sounds. I got used to the fact like if someone goes to use the water, you can hear water go through the pipes at different points. It's just a sound that you hear. So, like, for me, you'd be sitting there and be like, what's that sound? What's that? And I was like, oh, someone's just running water. What? I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, that, just means someone's drawing water. Like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, I had lived in a house all my life. I lived in the same house all my life. This was actually the first time I had ever moved. So, to me, it was really weird, especially not only moving, but being in an apartment building. I'm hearing all these sounds. I'm hearing things from upstairs. I'm hearing noises in the apartment buildings next door. Like you mentioned, the water running, toilets flushing, all these different things.
And the funny part is like when you go to a house from the apartment, if you were in the basement and you heard someone up, like upstairs, you would just like, oh, that's upstairs neighbors. Like, wait a minute. Yeah. Who is upstairs?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't have an upstairs neighbor. That was like something your parents ran into after they moved into a house. It was like, wait a second.
What is that sound?
What is that sound? Is somebody here? So it's kind of like the reverse of that. But it was definitely something different for me. And especially being blind, it's not like I could like, well, not that I'd be able to see what was going on anyway, but you know what I mean? When
you weren't
just sitting
able to rule things out as easily. Yeah,
exactly. Because like I'm just sitting there and I hear these random sounds and it's like, okay, I can't walk around the apartment to see if like there's something going on in the apartment. I'm just basing everything off of sound.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't even have a good sense of smell. So as far as that goes, like sound is my main sense. And when we first moved into the apartment, I would pick up every sound. Even now, I still do it a little bit. It's not as bad. I've gotten used to a lot of the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad we don't live near the garbage chuter elevators.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially with the elevators now, they beep. So I can only imagine, like, you can probably hear those beeps quite audibly at certain times. I'm sure eventually you would drown them out. You get used to them, like we have with different apartment sounds. But, I mean, it's something that's, like, a little bit strange, especially being blind.
When I grew up, my room was on the other side of the stairwell.
That's right, yeah.
So the entrance and the stairwell. Because we didn't have, it was only, like, three floors, so we didn't have an like elevator or anything like that. So I remember I could fall asleep to those sounds. Like I just, you know, I didn't hear them. And I remember one time my mom went to sleep in the room and I forget why she was doing it. And she asked me like, what the hell? Like, how do you sleep? I was like, what? And she's like, there were people banging up the stairs because there were steel stairs.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I had people running up and down that and like the doors closing and it's like, I don't know. That's just like you get used to the sound.
Yeah.
So for me, like I wouldn't wake up to that at all. And there was one time my mom went to sleep and she's like, how the heck do you sleep? And it's like, I don't know. Like I just always did. Like you get used to the sound. So like those people living next to those stairs and the elevator, you would just get used to that.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, even now, we actually have a stairwell. It's like across the hall from us. It's like kitty corner from our apartment unit, I would say. And like, I'll hear the door for the stairwell close. And it's a louder door when it closes. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And you know right away. It's like, oh, that's just somebody coming out of the stairwell. I'm like, how do you know this? Like, I don't understand. Like, I'm still kind of triggered by certain sounds. And I'm not used to them entirely. But I have gotten better. But you're obviously, you're a lot better at being able to decipher what sound is which. I mean, even when stuff...
there was last night a sound. And I'm like, you're like, what's that? I was like, oh, sounds like someone's trying to clean something off of the sink. Like you hit it on the side of the sink.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So like we were in the kitchen and I was like, okay, I guess it makes sense. But
the vibrations that I could imagine someone further up, they had something on their spoon or something and they hit it off the side of the sink to clean it
off. And I mean, there'll be some times where we're in the bedroom where I'll hear something and it sounds like it's in our apartment unit. Or it sounds like it's happening in the room or something. And it's, what was that? And you'll say, oh, just somebody dropped something upstairs. And it's, to me, it doesn't sound like it's upstairs. It sounds like it's like right in our unit. But you can differentiate. So you have a special talent there.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. If you ever want to parlay that into some kind of entertainment career, maybe you might be able to do so. I don't know.
Well, it's one of those things. Like, you know, it's from a neighbor, but I mean,
yeah,
a lot of these buildings were built with cement and concrete to separate the units, which is good for fire prevention. If mm-hmm. it happens in one unit, it won't spread to the other ones,
yes.
generally speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's essentially trying to get through stone.
Mm-hmm.
So it can usually be fairly well contained.
Right.
But
it also means
that
you
get used to that, yeah. it's the sound that...
It travels.
Yeah.
It can go like several floors, which has happened to us actually.
Yeah.
When somebody's doing something on an upper floor, some kind of construction, putting certain flooring in or different things. Like we hear like hammers and different things like all the way down to our floor. And sometimes it'll be a floor below us.
Yeah.
And it just reverberates all through the apartment building almost.
Yeah. Because there was once the building managers were asking us, oh, if we heard something. I was like, I did hear this banging on this day. It sounded like someone was having a hard time with a hammer. They were trying to hammer something in. And they looked at each other and like, that was you the other day, right? And he was trying to fix something and he was having a hard time with it. And he's like, yeah. It was like two floors up or something like that, two or three floors away.
It definitely travels. So that's something I've learned to be mindful of because I've been a very horrible neighbor. I mentioned the different rules of living in the apartment, and when we first moved in, I wasn't very good at containing the noise to myself, and I've gotten us into trouble before because I used to whistle a lot in our apartment building when I'd be drying dishes, and I'd have my headphones on, so I wouldn't be able to hear things if anybody came to the door or whatever. Even if somebody did come to the door, I probably wouldn't have opened it, because I was by myself during the day. I just didn't feel comfortable doing that unless I was expecting someone, or I knew specifically who was coming to the door.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd do different things, and kind of whistle while I worked. Because it's something I was used to doing at home, too. So it's not where I was even thinking about it. And one day you came home, actually, and there was a note at our door that said, stop whistling.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been scolded.
Yeah, it was also about the hour you were doing it, because at the time I was leaving for work early.
I never did it that early. I never did it that early.
But you would do it closer to 7 or 8.
I didn't do it that early. I'm just telling you, I never whistled that. Like, I tried to be mindful of the time when I would, like, do dishes and stuff. Maybe I did make noise. Like, maybe I walked around the apartment and different things, but I tried to be very mindful about dishes and different things, at least.
Okay, because I thought the note said something about the morning.
Maybe it was in the morning, but I don't think it was, like, 7 a.m., like, that's my point.
I thought it was around like 8 or 9.
Maybe 9. Let's say 9. To me, people should be awake by 9. Come on. You're not awake by 9? You got a job or what? You lazy bum. Like, go to work.
Maybe not when they want to wake up to at 9 a.m.
Well, come on. 9 a.m.? That's not like you're waking up early. You have to admit, 9 a.m. is a little bit later in the morning.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not up by 9, like, I mean, they start work in the apartment by 9 when they're doing it. So it's not like, that was kind of my rule of thumb. It's like, okay, they start, whenever they put out notices for, like, doing work in the apartment in the morning, they usually start at 9. So to me, it was, okay, like, if they're doing work in the apartment, you're going to be hearing it past 9 anyway. So if I'm making any noise, I can do that, like, after 9. Not that I'm, like, using that as permission or free rein to make as much noise as I possibly can. But you know what I mean? Like, as a general rule, I feel like, okay, that's when work starts in the apartment, when they're doing different things. So, to me, that should be acceptable for me to do stuff in my own apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So, I feel that's more of what it was.
Okay.
I might be misremembering because I want to save face here, but I don't think it was like 7 in the morning. I really don't think it was that early. Maybe between 8 and 9.
Okay.
I'll concede that much. But yes, I got scolded for whistling, and so I don't whistle in the apartment building anymore But I mean, I think it just all goes back to being aware of your surroundings, and that's something even you and I had to learn living in our apartment unit between each other, because, I mean, we went from living with our parents to having to share our own space and learning what that was like. And I mean, a lot of married couples go through this, so I think it's another one of those things that's kind of universal, but it's even a little bit different, I would say, when you're living with someone who is blind, because where you can be in a married couple and misplace things with people who are sighted, when it comes to somebody who's completely blind, they're not necessarily going to know where you put something. They can't see it so easily. So, like, even if you move it just not that far away, even, they can be completely missing it and spending a lot of time trying to figure out where you put something. So, I mean, I think it's something that we still are working on to this day. And I'm not saying I'm innocent either. I move things too, and you don't necessarily know where they are. But it's definitely a challenge, I think, for both of us. Would you say?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. It's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's so difficult.
No, okay, I don't want to be mean, but you seem to have a really hard time with it sometimes. Because, like, you'll be at work sometimes where I'm trying to find something, and I have no idea where you put it. And I, like, try to enter and think like you would think, and think like, okay, if I were Jan, I would think this way, and I would put it here because of this. And sometimes my thinking process is spot on, and there's other times where it's completely off. And I have no idea why you put something where you did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, I'm going to be honest, it drives me nuts still. Because I understand, like, you don't mean any harm by it, and it's just, it's something that slips your mind. But it's, you've moved something, and, like I've said before, when I get annoyed about it, it's just, like, if you're going to move something, you have to tell me where you've moved it to. Otherwise, like, I have no idea where it is. And, like, for a sighted person, and I'm not trying to pick on you, like, it happens. Mm-hmm. For a sighted person looking through an apartment building, it's not as big a space as it is for a blind person. Because for a blind person, I can't just sweep the room with my eyes. I have to feel around for different areas. There have been times where I've dropped stuff on the carpet and I'm feeling like every inch of the carpet, and it's just happens to be like in the little nook and cranny beside my garbage can or whatever. So it's, for someone who is blind, if something's misplaced just like a few inches or feet even, it's it can be very difficult and very time consuming to try and figure out what's been moved and where it's been placed. So I mean, I think that's something that's a little bit more amplified when you're married to somebody who's blind. How do you see it yourself?
What do you mean? How do I see?
Like, how do you, like, for me, it's a big issue. For you, how big of an issue is that for you? Like, when I misplace things?
It's easy and it's hard. Because sometimes it's really easy because I can think like you, or I know where you would have put something. It gets hard because sometimes you put things where it makes sense to you, but I could not imagine you, one, thinking of putting it there, or I want to say there might have been a time where, like, you thought you were putting it in one spot, and it was in a different spot.
Okay, that makes sense.
So,
yeah.
Like, it would have made because, sense
like,
in one area.
Because, like, I can't
see
what's there.
So you thought it was here, and it was, like, over there. So it was close, but it was like, okay, so it wasn't in this drawer, or it wasn't in, you know, this thing. So if it wasn't there, where did he think he was putting it?
So not only are you trying to bring yourself through to my thought process, you're also trying to think like a blind person.
Yeah.
How would a blind person envision this room?
Yeah.
Essentially, and he thinks he puts it here. What would he think that is?
Yeah.
And mistakenly...
Yeah.
Like, how would he mistakenly
put it? I think it was in the fridge that you thought you had put it, like, in one spot. I think it was either, like...
Different shelf?
Yeah, different shelf, yeah. Or it was just a little bit over. So it was, like, one of those things that, like, okay, he said he put it back here, but it's not. So where did he think he was putting it?
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's not something I would think of. And that's something I really want to try and, like, focus on a little bit more on our podcast, actually, is kind of getting your point of view. Because, like, there's sometimes I know, like... Okay, not sometimes. I react about certain things from my point of view, but I would like to get it from your point of view, too, because it's something that I don't necessarily think of as a blind person, whereas, like, for you visually, like, you have to deal with different elements kind of working around my lifestyle. So, yeah, that's interesting to me. Like, I didn't know that there's kind of, like, that extra layer for you when I misplace something, and it's something extra that you would have to deal with.
Yeah, the other thing about living together is, like, if I go to rearrange things...
Make sure you tell me.
Well, it's not just that. It's there... When I would rearrange my room before, you just rearrange it, and you see how it looks and how it works, and you do that. And if it doesn't end up working out after a day or something like that, you know, like, you can switch it back. It's not a big deal. However, when we moved in together over time and I decided to change something, there is a long thought process involved to figure out how things are going to be reconfigured, if things can fit, because it's not just... Okay, if it doesn't work, you have to move it back. It's like, if it doesn't work, is he tripping over anything?
Yeah.
Is it going to be an easier transition? Because if I move one thing to a different spot, are you going to be able to transition to it where you're not still going to the other spot? And in a sense, would that be dangerous for you? Like, we flipped our bedroom around.
I was just thinking about this, actually, yes.
And, like, I had moved a chair, and when I had done it, I had thought the chair, in my mind, the chair would fit in further. And it didn't fit where I wanted it to go.
Yeah. Essentially, what we did, we basically swapped our sides, bed. So, like, my side table, like, I was on the left side of the bed. So we moved everything from that side table.
He was closer to the heater, and I'm always cold.
Yeah,
so
we tried to change that up. And so now I was moved closer to the closet from the left side of the bed to the right side of the bed. So now, like, the side table's on my right side. And I used to have, at the end of the bed, we have a dresser. And on the left side of that, on my side, was a chair. And this is what you're talking about. Once I move sides of the bed, you put it on the right side of the dresser. Right? Okay. So you continue. I just wanted to explain that little part. Yeah. So
like, it was a matter of moving things and figuring it out. And then when something didn't line up with how I thought it was off by like half an inch. It wouldn't fit. And it was like, okay, so I'm going to switch this over here. And then when you walked in the room, you stubbed your toe on the chair. I was like, uh-oh, like it's not going to be where he can just adjust to this chair being
there. And I mean, in my mind, I just thought, okay, like we're basically swapping the room. So it's just instead of the chair being on that side, it's on like the right side. So it's still on my side of the room.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think there'd be anything wrong with it. And then just walking into the room, I wasn't... Like, I was so used to going
further
to the bed.
In.
Yeah, like, yeah. I would come at the bed from a certain angle. And because of that, I wasn't turning away from the chair fast enough because I kept going to the bed at that angle. Mm-hmm. So my toe kept clipping the chair. And I did it, like, once or twice and wasn't too bad. I'm like, no, like, I'll get used to it. I'll get used to it. And then the third time, I really nailed my toe on
it.
And then
did.
I'm like, nope, can't do this. This is not going to work out because I'm going to break my toe before I get used to the chair being there. So it's one of those things
So we moved it over. There was room in a different area.
So it's one of those things you have to be very exact when you are moving things around because, like, the smallest little deviation can make a big difference.
Mm.
And like, you really have to keep that in mind. And I mean, it's not like you're going to measure out a room to say like, okay, here, walk towards a bed. I need to measure this exact angle at which you come at it.
Yeah.
So that I know you're not going to hit the chair. So like, it's a lot of it is you're kind of putting it into practice and seeing how it works out too, while trying to stay careful as well.
Yeah. So like, there was a lot of planning ahead of time where I was like figuring out exactly how it was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've done it before where I go to change my room around or something, but like, it was never in that detail to the point of figuring out, okay, so when this is moved here, where am I putting this stuff?
Yeah.
Because you have to coordinate it so that you have use of the rest of the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So that if we're going to put things here, okay, so I can pile this area on top of the coffee table and that's okay. And then I can do this. But you have to have that consideration because it can't just be, well, I'll just move things to the left side and that'll be fine. Because it's like, no, because if he needs something, how have we worked this out?
Exactly. And I mean, I was just going to say too, like when you are kind of testing this out and trying to figure out where you're going to put stuff and if it's going to work, if it doesn't work, you have to put things back and you have to put them back.
Exactly.
Very exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because it's, if you're off a little bit, if the couch is out by a foot or like whatever, like we mentioned before on the podcast that like blind people, they develop a certain part of their brain differently and it creates spatial maps inside their heads. So, I mean, they have those spatial maps of the room. And if you're putting a different object in a different place in the room, they're going to run into it because they're thinking in terms of it being in a different area. So even if it's off just a little bit, you can be running your foot into it. Like you can be tripping over stuff. So if something doesn't work out, you have to put everything back exactly. So, I mean, that takes a lot more work when you just want to switch things around. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's basically, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's basically us living together and moving in together. I think that covers everything.
Covers everything. That covers our surroundings, the move, why we came here so many years, on that fateful day, almost 7 years ago. It's hard to believe we've lasted this long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, but before we move to the end of this podcast, it's that all-important time. Question of the week. Are you ready for it, Jan?
Yes.
Okay, what question do you have for your loving husband on this week's podisode? I thought you said you were ready. You're already hesitating. This is a suspenseful part of the episode. The podisode, sorry. Sorry, go ahead. You were about to ask me. I was trying to build up the suspense. I feel I'm just being irritating.
For brushing your teeth.
Yes.
What are some complications with that?
Complications?
How do you, like, there's a special way you brush your teeth.
Yes.
Okay.
There are different ways you can do it. I was trained, like, you could, hold your toothbrush at the end, the part that brushes your teeth. Put your, like, thumb and your pointer finger, index finger, on, both sides of the brush. Like, I'm showing Jan, but basically it's, like, you're basically, like, kind of not cupping the two sides of the brush, but, like, you're holding, like, on the left and right of the brush, you're putting your thumb and index finger. And then you can take the toothpaste, like the cap that you, like the end that, where the toothpaste comes out, and basically use your fingers to guide where that goes to put the toothpaste on the brush itself. Like the brush part, not the handle, obviously. You can do it that way, or you can just open the, this is why I use my own toothpaste. You can just open the cap and put it to your lips and squeeze out the toothpaste into your mouth, essentially, and then just start brushing from there. So I do it the second way. because I find that a lot easier. But I know that those are two different techniques for brushing your teeth that I was told I could use and that were easier, that other blind people found easier. I don't know if there are different techniques to use that are also easy for blind people to use. If there are, for blind or visually impaired people, you can let us know, feedback@blindluminations.com. We will make sure to share those with people on future podisodes. But as far as I know, those are the only two that I learned anyway. And aside from that, there aren't really any big complications. You just got to feel around a lot more. Not in your mouth, obviously. Like, you brushing your teeth is essentially the same for a sighted person as it is for somebody who can't see. But, I mean, not to be gross, but when you're spitting out your toothpaste, you want to feel around with your hand and kind of, I would say you probably end up like bending over further to make sure you are spitting in the sink, because you don't want to make a mess that way. And then even when you're rinsing your mouth, you do the same thing. You're bending over to kind of make sure you're getting all of that in the sink and not making a mess on the countertop. And when it comes to rinsing out the sink itself with a cup of water or whatever, you're holding around the rim of the sink to make sure that you're pouring inside of it. So those would be like the only things that I can think of in terms of like that make it different to brush your teeth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I also like kind of try to wash my face afterwards to make sure I don't have any like toothpaste in the corner of my lips or whatever. But that's about it that I can think of in terms of brushing my teeth. I don't know. Is there like anything else about that process you...
No, I think that just about covers it.
I'd be interested to hear too from our blind listeners and anyone who's visually impaired. Like, do any of you use like electric toothbrushes and how that works? Because I've never tried that. I don't know if that would be easier or like more of the same or like how that works, because obviously electric toothbrushes work a little bit differently. You have to replace the heads. You have to do different things. So I don't know if those are easier to use, harder, or what. But I'd be interested to know how that all works out for people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to let us know, you can do so, like I said, by emailing us at feedback@blindluminations.com. You can also find us on social media. We are at www.facebook.com/blindluminations. We are on Twitter @blindlumination. We do not have an S there because they don't let us have one. You can even contact us on Instagram. I don't know why you would to answer a question, but if you want to follow us there anyway, we are at www.instagram.com/blindluminations. So those are all the ways you can reach us, and for anything really, if you want to provide an answer to what we were just talking about, or even if you just want to give us some feedback, you have any questions of your own you want to ask us, or just want to say, hey, thanks for doing this podcast, we really appreciate it, we could use the ego boost. Mm-hmm. I know Jan said that I might not be able to fit my head inside the door because you've seen it in movies, but it would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'd share the ego boost with you so that it would level out. Neither one of our heads would be too big. We could both enter doorways. What do you think?
No comment.
Would that be... I was going to ask if that would be acceptable to you, but you give me no comment. That's what you're saying. Thanks a lot. Anyway, so I think that does it for this week. You don't have anything else you would like to say, Jan?
Nope.
Okay, so next week, I think we are going to cover basically how we take care of one another when we're sick. Is that still what you want to do next week?
Because
I know we've talked about it. And I think that's where we're going to go. So definitely tune in for that. We'll have a whole lot to talk about. We will be the illest podcast on the internet next week.
Mm-hmm.
You like that?
Uh-huh.
We be ill. Okay. It wasn't that good, was it?
It's not the best, no.
Not the best, okay. Well, I'll take not the best. That's acceptable. That's acceptable. You aren't too cruel. But anyway, until then, be sure not to be a dingleberry and keep your ear holes happy. Subscribe for free. And as always, stay awesome. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Blind Luminations was created by Mark and Jeanette Rushlow. Theme music was provided by Bill Nouveau at www.nouveauentertainment.com. Make the god of blindness happy. Mark calls him Blinder. Rate, review, and subscribe to Blind Luminations on iTunes or wherever great podcasts are found. This has been a Fire Teddy production.
I don't know. I just don't know. It's like Corner Gas. That theme song. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
The end of the theme song. They're like, I just don't know.
Okay, yeah, that starts rings a bell, yeah.
Yeah, that's in their theme song. That's what I'm saying.
Mm,
I'm saying that's the thing that happens.
Mm.
Are we recording this part, by the way?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have a lot to edit out, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
You have to respond to questions when I ask them, do you?
Okay.
Are you awake?
Yes, I am. I am responding to questions.
You're like barely talking to me.
Is he?
I can't. That's the problem. Well, that's what our show's about, actually. So I guess it's not a problem, per se. Mm. It's a solution.
Oh, that's true.
It's a solution to what ails us. Anyway, do you want to get this underway?